Now you're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Stand Out with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Cora Staunton. Cora is best known for playing for the Mayo Ladies football team, winning 4 All-Ireland medals as well as 11 All-Stars. She was drafted by the Giants in the 2017 AFL Women's Draft, and she was the first international player to be signed to an AFL Women's list. Sit back and enjoy the show. Cora, thanks a million for coming on today. How are you?
I'm good now, Ian. How are you?
I'm all right. Keeping well?
I am, yeah. Keeping well, busy and enjoying the sunshine. Not missing Australia too much when we have this sun.
I always, just for the listeners, do you want to give me an idea of what your childhood was like growing up?
Yeah, I suppose I'm from a big family, so I'm one of eight. 4 boys, 4 girls in the family, and I'm second youngest. I'm from obviously a rural part of Mayo, from the country, from a place called Cairnacone, which is about 15 minutes from Claremorris and 15 minutes from Castlebar. I went to primary school in the local primary school about a mile away from where I live. And I suppose, yeah, that's what I really remember about my childhood, just being, you know, going to primary school. And I was very lucky with a principal, Arthur Sullivan, that kind of loved sports. So primary school for me every day was going in and trying a number of sports, whether it was football, basketball, indoor soccer. We had a handball alley right beside the school, so we used to have a handball and a racquetball league every day. We used to do any sport, rounders, volleyball, unihoc. We tried everything. So he was very into sport, and yeah, he just kind of encouraged me to play. Again, I was probably the only girl at the time playing any of the sports, but yeah, every day in school was kind of, as I said, we had a hall right beside the school, so during the winter we'd have a indoor soccer competition, and that would run for probably 5 or 6 months of the year. So it was really kind of, that was my childhood growing up. And then obviously at home, all I remember is being out in the front garden, you know, and the neighbours that lived beside us, you know, we used to have 5-a-side games, and yeah, just being outdoors all the time. Never really remember being indoors. Wasn't one for sitting down watching television unless it was sport. And yeah, it was just a kind of really happy childhood growing up, and it was all around sport. And you know, as I said, if I was watching it, I was watching Manchester United. I loved Man United when I was growing up, and you know, anything that was on television on the free tier channel. So yeah, that's where it kind of took me. And then when I realised I was quite good at sport, I started to join the boys team when I was 7, Gaelic football wise. And yeah, I just continued to play with them because there was no girls underage team. And then I suppose my first time playing girls football was community games, and I think I was probably around 11 at the time. And then a girls underage club kind of formed on the back of that. And yeah, that was really it. Into secondary school, and yeah, more sport. And as I said, joined Mayo then, the senior team, at the end of first year when I was 13 and a half, coming on 14.
And like you said, they're sports mad. So I was reading, or I don't know, it was an interview I was listening to there a few weeks ago. You said your ambition was to play for Man United in Old Trafford, and then your second one was to play in Croke Park. Did you You were, like you said, you played soccer. Did you get an FAI? Did you win something growing up as well? I was reading.
Yeah. So I played soccer growing up as well. And early days, I went for under 16 Ireland trials. I always remember going up on the train to the trials, and someone picked me up at the train station. And yeah, I remember I got picked to represent Ireland at under 16 level. But at the same stage, I was playing obviously inter-county senior football at the time. I'd say I was probably about 15, and I had probably 2 years done with Mayo at that stage. And yeah, they were asking me to choose between either playing with Mayo or playing with Ireland. And yeah, while I liked soccer, I probably just loved Gaelic too much. And yeah, the thoughts of probably travelling away from home and trying to get to Dublin for training probably wasn't realistic. But yeah, in my later days then, yeah, I played with a couple of soccer clubs. My first soccer club was Knockilchmaw, and that was just based on I had a friend that played with Mayo that was from over there. So I played with them, and we won an intermediate cup. It was back in 2007. And then we then set up a club just beside me, Ballyglass Soccer Club, which is probably 2 miles over the road. We set up another ladies team and won another intermediate cup. I'd say around probably 2016, 2017. And, you know, we won a senior senior cup as well with Mayo in 2006. So yeah, we were handy at soccer, but we probably never took it too serious. We never really trained for it. We just kind of played the matches and kind of set up teams along the way. But that Mayo senior cup win was huge, and we beat UCD in the final, and we got to go off to Austria in 2007 and represent Ireland playing. So that was an experience. Let's just say when we played over in Austria, we didn't win any game. We only scored one goal in the competition. I think maybe we conceded about 13 or 14, but to go away for 5 days, I think we went away for 5 days for our week, was amazing. And in that week, we had to fly back because we were playing Monaghan in an All-Ireland quarterfinal for Mayo. So we flew home in the middle of it and flew back out to Austria again. So I think there was four or five of us playing with Mayo at the time and playing with the Mayo soccer team as well. So yeah, that was an experience. And yeah, I was the only goal scorer in the whole week when we were over there. So we got one goal, and I easily think we conceded 13 or 14 goals. We played three group games.
We'll keep the results quiet. So did you have anyone, I suppose, when you were younger growing up, I suppose even sports wise or in life in general, did you have anyone that you kind of, I suppose, looked up to or a role model?
Yeah, I suppose there was probably, from a sporting context, yeah, there was a couple. I suppose Roy Keane obviously was a huge one for me. As I said, I had thought I was at it was probably 10 or 11 that I wanted to go to Old Trafford and be Roy Keane. Obviously, that was never going to happen. And even at the time, women's soccer wasn't, Man United didn't have a women's soccer team. So nowadays, you know, that's an ambition that girls can, you know, achieve. And then I suppose the likes of, you know, from a Gaelic football point of view, watching it, obviously watched Mayo. I love Kieran MacDonald. And, you know, outside of Mayo, then Maurice Fitzgerald was my idol. I just remember watching him obviously beat Mayo a couple of times, and just the things he could do with football. I always remember being out in the front garden trying to score that point with the outside of my boot from the sideline that he kicked against Mayo in the All-Ireland final. And, you know, that day he gave, I think it was Dermot Flanagan, he was marking a run around. So yeah, he was definitely one. And then I always loved Sonia O'Sullivan, just because obviously she was a female and she was on TV always when, you know, when I was growing up. Now, I was never going to be a long distance runner and had no interest in that, but I just loved that you could see if she was the only female sports person when you were growing up that you could see. So yeah, they were definitely three. And I suppose away from sport, it was probably my mom. I lost my mom when I was 16, but she would have been sick from probably the age of 12 and a half to 16, and would have been, you know, battled with cancer for quite badly for that period of time. So yeah, I'd always have looked up to her and how brave she was and how she could keep everything going, you know, trying to rear obviously 8 kids at the time as well. So yeah, from a sports point of view, there were probably the three. And then, you know, from off field and not the sports, mom was definitely one.
It's great to have that memory to say that, you know, you looked up to her. Like you said there, you made your debut age 13, which was very young. Were you in your first All-Ireland, was it in 99? You broke your collarbone a few weeks beforehand, did you?
Yeah, so yeah, we got into our first All-Ireland in 99. We beat Meath in the semi-final. Yeah, it was just actually the week before the final. It was the Sunday before the final. We had a 15-a-side A versus B, you know, obviously the last kind of time to put your hand up to try and claim a place in the final team. And yeah, I remember it was in Ballinrobe and we played it, and I went to go down to pick up a ball near the sideline, and Claire Egan, who was a club mate of mine and obviously a teammate of Mayo, whatever way she came in, she kind of shouldered me, and whatever way I landed, I ended up breaking my collarbone. So yeah, down to the A&E in Castlebar to be told that it's broken. And yeah, probably the next next 3 or 4 days was going from physio to physio and whoever I could go to try and see was there any chance I could play. But no, it was next or near impossible. I couldn't obviously move my hand or lift my hand over my head. But yeah, that was hugely disappointing. But I suppose there are the knocks and setbacks that you get in sport. And as I said, I lost my mom probably 11 months previous to that, so I was probably having a bad run of form. But yeah, when I look back at things like that, yeah, they're the probably things that made you more resilient and made you more stubborn and wanting to achieve more. So yeah, obviously we went on to win that All-Ireland, which was great. And yeah, we got back to the All-Ireland the next 4 years after that.
And like you said there, you won it. You lost the 2001 All Ireland then, and then I suppose you went on to win the 02 and 03. What was that? I suppose there was a setback in 2001. Did that kind of light a fire under the belly for the next couple of years then?
Yeah, it certainly did. And I suppose the way we lost in 2001, we lost it through a short kick out. Our goalkeeper actually kicked the ball short out to me. And at the time, I don't know whether we were naive or didn't know the rules at the time, I picked the ball up inside the 21, and in Gaelic football, ladies football, not in men's, if you pick the ball up inside the 21, it's a 21-yard free in front of the goal. And at the time, neither me or the goalkeeper or any of the girls on both teams knew it was a free. So I always remember that was 47 seconds left on the clock at the time, and they got their free, and Mary Curran, who was the free taker from Laois, yeah, kicked the ball over the bar, I think, with about 20 seconds to go. So yeah, it was just the way we lost. We were probably the better team on the day, and to lose it, that was very cruel. We were going obviously for three in a row. So yeah, obviously the next year was special to come back and to win it. You know, certainly after the way we lost in 2001.
Were you involved in the women's international, the Irish team in 2006? What was that that experience like? I suppose going from the GAA to that.
Yeah, it was very interesting at the time. I remember Jared Burns, the incoming GAA president, was our manager at the time. And I remember there was a lot of trials to obviously go and try and make the team. There was a lot of hype around it, obviously, because of the men's series and how well that was. So, yeah, we actually trained particularly hard for it. We had a number of training sessions in Dublin. Even to make the squad was tough. And then we played two games against the Aussies. One was in Cavan and the other was in Parnell Park. But yeah, unfortunately, different to the men's, the Aussie women were quite poor. And you know, now that, you know, I know their experience, and I think if they play them now, it'd be a lot different. Yeah, we ended up, you know, beating them quite convincingly in both games. But no, to get the opportunity to put on the Ireland jersey and play with the best teams or best players in the country was amazing, and obviously to experience the game, which is amazing, considering, you know, what that was, 2006, probably 11 years later that I go out down to Australia and play Aussie rules. And yeah, a certain girl called Daisy Pearce, who's probably the biggest name now, she just retired this year from AFL W, was the biggest name over there. I remember she was playing for the Australian team, and yeah, it's mad. It's been talked about a number of times when I went back over to Australia in 2017.
Now, if you want to get in contact with me throughout the show with any questions or requests, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. We're going to go for a very quick ad break. Throw on the kettle. Don't go anywhere. Lots more to come. We'll be back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell, here on Radio Kerry. I'm here today with former Mayo ladies footballer and AFL player Cora Staunton. If you're just joining us, the full interview will be up on the Radio Kerry website in the podcast section after the show. Or you can now get this interview, as well as all the shows I've done so far, on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Stand Out with Ian O'Connell. You mentioned there at the start of the interview in 2006. Was that the same year you won the FAI, the Cup with...
Yes. Yeah, it was the same year. We won that FAI Cup, I think. Oh, I think that was probably close to December time. It was near winter time, November, December. Yeah, so yeah, it was all the same year. But I suppose them things you don't think about, everything is just really hectic. And I always remember, and while you look at it nowadays, my career very early days was just going from training to match to, you know, there were some days that, you know, I might do a Mayo training in the morning and go off and play a soccer match in the afternoon and play a Carnacone match in the evening. You know, where nowadays, if people talk about burnout, we just used to train all the time and play. And I think, yeah, we just love to do it. So, it was amazing that the international rules and the soccer and all that was in the one year. But I definitely remember the soccer was kind of the last thing of the year. I nearly say it was close to being a December time game.
I am, like, you had success with Mayo and your own football club as well. I always ask people when I'm interviewing them I suppose, club and then county. They, what does club mean to you? Because like that's where you start off, and then I suppose when people retire from county, they go back and they're still playing with the club. How important do you think club football is?
Oh, I think it's hugely important. You know, I'd be a huge club person and always have been since I joined. You know, I started playing with Cairnacone when I was probably 10, 11. And as I said, we didn't have underage teams at the time. It was just, we were a junior club. And I remember lining out for the juniors at probably 11. And we eventually got up to senior championship, because there was no intermediate at the time, went into senior championship in 1998. And yeah, that was the first time when we got up. We won in 97, the junior, went up to senior 98, and we won our first county title then. And then we went on to win it for, we lost it in 99, and we went on to win it then. I think we won 21 out of 22 county titles. Obviously, we won six All-Irelands, and you know, club was everything. You know, even with Mayo, when I was playing with the Heights for Mayo, I'd still attend club training at least once, if not twice a week. And you know, you mightn't train, but you'd always be there. And yeah, and I suppose to have six club All-Irelands is very special. Even now, going back playing club, it's huge. You know, because it's girls that you've grown up with, that you've known since you were, you know, very small. You know, we've a lot of sisters and cousins and all that play on the team. And yeah, I suppose I always found that Cairnacone was always a place when you'd probably have a long season with Mayo, and you know, there could be a lot of heartache. You go back to that, and it was the closest thing to an inter-county setup that we could. You know, you went back to a very professional setup, and you'd finish with Mayo maybe September time or October, depending on how far you got. And yeah, you'd be straight into a Cairnacone, and you'd go on a great run. So yeah, I always credited with me being, you know, consistently performing and being fit, because, you know, because Cairnacone was so successful, we never kind of finished any earlier than the end of November. Club All-Irelands were always kind of the first or second week of December. So yeah, it's huge. You know, people always ask, yeah, you know, what's the difference? And I suppose the biggest difference is that it's community, and it's the people you see every day. And you know, when you go down to the pitch, whether it's to watch an underage boys or girls game or just go to training, you know, you're always meeting people, and you're just going back to what you know. And I suppose that's where it's the biggest difference to county football. You probably don't have that sense of community that you have within clubs. So yeah, Cairnacone is huge for me, and I suppose I've probably, you know, played 30 plus years with them at this stage. So you know, I still enjoy it as much as I did, you know, when I was probably 11 years of age.
Like you said, it's all about the community. I want to ask you, because in men's football here now, I know a few people, like from my own club, when you're in with the county setup, like I know a few people that are in, like say with Kerry, and they're only on the extended panel and they don't play that much at all, and then they're not allowed to play club football at all. Was that the same for women's football?
I think it is now. Back in the day, it was all dependent on who your manager was. Some girls obviously wouldn't, and other girls would, depending on. I was always one that, yeah, even if we were probably told not to go to train or whatever, I'd still attend or help out. In my time, it was kind of the split season. Now has it very much, it's club, you know, it's county season and then it's club, so there's very little crossover nowadays. But back in my time when I played, there was huge crossover between, you know, girls and or it's a difference between your county girls and your club girls. But I think since the split season came in, it's very much county players, and then it comes into the club season, where I thought it was really important to be there, whether you trained or not, to be there. Because, you know, in our case, when it was at the height of it with Mayo, Cairnacone probably had up to 12 or 13 girls involved in the Mayo squad. So, you know, that was at least half of our panel, which was very difficult.
And like you said, just to be around the setup, it'll help, you know, even if you're not playing, just to kind of to help out. You dipped into rugby as well in 2013. I want to just ask you, what was that like, I suppose, from growing up playing so much football and then to go into that? What was that experience like?
Yeah.
And was it something that growing up that you knew you wanted to go into?
I wouldn't say I knew I wanted to go into it, but I always loved the challenge of all the different types of sports when I was growing up. As I said, that my first ever involvement in sport, or to win anything in sport, I actually won an All-Ireland in handball. And that was when I was quite young, when I was still in national school. So that first experience. And then my next experience would have been community games, GAA. where I've been involved in All-Ireland, in Fela Club All-Ireland, and then in under 14 All-Ireland with Mayo. That's all my first experience. But when I was growing up, I just loved playing all different types of sports. I loved basketball, soccer, anything that our principal used to throw at us. And again, growing up, women's rugby, I didn't know anything about it. It wasn't being played. You know, it was either you played GA or soccer from where I was from. And then the opportunity came along. My cousin actually was involved with Casper Rugby Club. And we finished with Mayo, and she said, would you have any interest to come in and play in rugby? And I was like, oh yeah, I might try it. Why not? Sure. So I went and tried with me and my best friend, and who also played Mayo at the time, Yvonne Byrne, decided to go in and try it. And yeah, again, I just loved the challenge of playing it, the physical element, but also the challenge of trying to get good at it and learn a new game. And yeah, and I suppose like anything, the attributes of Gaelic football, you know, you can bring some of them into rugby. Same when I went to AFL, you can bring a lot of the attributes of Gaelic football and soccer into another sport. So yeah, the challenge of rugby was brilliant. Now, my role, I used to play either inside or outside centre. An odd time I play full back, but normally I played inside or outside centre, and I just used to run with the ball and evade people as best I could. So yeah, I liked that challenge, all right. But I suppose if you had to play in a different position, you know, I you know, being a back in rugby was fine. I don't know if I'd be any good being a forward, but no, I did enjoy it, certainly. And I played with Castlebar for a couple of seasons, went in for a couple of Connacht trainings as well. But I again, at the time, I remember our club coaches in 2013 weren't very happy with me, because we were in a club All Ireland in 2013 with Cairnacone. We went on to win the All Ireland, and I remember I was playing in a Connacht rugby final. I dare say maybe a week to 10 days before the All Ireland. I remember I hurt my shoulder in that match. I couldn't tell them. I remember coming to another training session where I actually got stood on in a rugby game, and I had a bruise halfway down my leg. And I remember, I can't go to club training looking like this. And yeah, I had to come late to train and not train, because if they saw me, they'd absolutely lose it. So yeah, in the end, I think the club were getting very panicky, because I was not picking up major injuries, but yeah, they were just worried that I'd pick up a serious injury. So yeah, I'd done that for a couple of years, but really enjoyed it. And again, it's probably if I had picked it up from a younger age and learned the finer skills, yeah, I certainly would have gave it a go. You know, I went in for a go or two with the Irish Sevens, you know, as well, for a trial as well. But, you know, I always used to come back to, if I had to choose between football and rugby or soccer, it was always going to be football.
Probably the makeup over the bruise and the leg to hide it.
I can tell you the size of this bruise. It probably ran from the top of my knee all the way down to my ankle. There was no hiding it. Don't worry, I tried everything from wearing socks, and that I was ended up going to wear long skins, but I wasn't one to ever wear them, so there'd be a question why I was wearing them.
Now we're going to go for a quick ad break. Don't go anywhere. Lots more to come. We'll be back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome back to the show. I'm here today with former Mayo ladies footballer and former AFL player Cora Staunton.
I am. When I was interviewing Kieran Donaghy, he said something similar for him now. Obviously, with basketball, he's have massive success in that as well. And he said, like, he finds it vital for people growing up, as he, even I suppose from very young up until now, he said basketball is good for football, like the hand-eye coordination. You said something similar. Do you think that other sports as well are, I suppose, vital for rugby, whether that be like hand-eye or just your, I suppose, reflexes or anything?
Yeah, I think all sports, no matter what sport you take up, whether it's if you play Gaelic football long-term or rugby or soccer, or if it's AFL, whatever it might be, I think having a basis of a lot of different sports when you're younger is huge, because I think each sport teaches you different things. It could be different movement. You know, you look at Gaelic football now, the best example I can give, and Kieran is right, you know, so many coaches now within Gaelic football are using the whole basketball terminology and basketball moves on the Gaelic football pitch. You know, we look at, and I can only talk within my own county, but I know Kevin McStay, for an example, has both Lee McHale and Deora Marsh, Lee McHale being a former Mayo footballer, both involved in basketball. Kevin McStay's, you know, brother was involved in the basketball team as well. You know, they're bringing in a huge amount of influence on that kind of press and the way they screen, all of that type of thing has come into Gaelic football hugely. It's done in a lot of teams. I know Knockmore, who would have been county champions here for a number of years, the 1-2 back-to-back county championship. Their whole philosophy was based with Terry Kennedy, who was over that successful Ballina team years ago. He was their main reason and why they got over the line. They hadn't won a county title in years. And again, all their training, early days and pre-season was done in a basketball court. So that's just one example. But I think kids growing up, and any talks that I do, I'd be telling parents to make sure they try as many sports as they can, because they've huge benefit. And I seen that when I went to AFL. Gaelic football is the skills that you learn there, and it's not just like your, when I say skills, it's not like soloing and kicking, you know, it's your movement skills, your footwork that I learned in Gaelic football, and the skills that I learned playing rugby had huge benefit for me to pick up the game of AFL. Even soccer, the way you dribble the ball and you move, where you go across to Australia, and a lot of the girls, the sports that they've grown up playing have all been just very one directional. So they just move, you know, forward or back. They're not very good at that kind of agility work, and they'd always compliment the Irish on how agile we are and how quick we can move, and we don't just run linear. So I think it's really important for kids, you know, small things, even handball, growing up, that the hand-eye coordination from that, the movement from that. I think it's hugely important that kids play as many sports for as long as they can, and if it's possible, even into your adulthood, to play two sports, I'd be playing them.
That's great for young people listening. Lastly now, the AFL, I want to touch on that. When you got drafted in, do you want to tell me how that, I suppose, came about? Because that was obviously a massive move to go over, and it was, I suppose, the media and everything all along. So do you want to just tell me what that was like, your move to that?
Yeah, so I suppose I went over in the end of 2017, but I suppose how it happened that I went over, I was in China, in Shanghai, at the Asian Games, which is a big GAA Games that's held every year in some part of Asia. And I'd been an ambassador for a few years, where I'd been over in Kuala Lumpur and twice, and I'd been in Shanghai before. So I was over in that in October 2016. I think that was my third year over at the Games, and it's basically you just go over for a week, and it's a holiday, and you're just watching the games for the weekend. On that trip, when I was over, you know, it's different Gaelic footballers were over there. I'd been over with the Bomber Liston, been over with Nicky English, the hurler. So there's different people that you're over. But this time I was over, and there was a guy over from Australia that was also acting as an ambassador, and his name was Nick Walsh. Now, he had played AFL himself. He was from Cavan originally. And he went over as an 18-year-old to try and make with Melbourne, but he got injured, didn't make it in AFL, came home, worked with the GAA for a good while, went back out and became involved in coaching over there. So he was working with a team called the Giants. Again, at that time I didn't know who the Giants were. I knew the Sydney Swans, who they were, because obviously Ty Kennelly had won a premiership with them, and, you know, obviously followed a little bit of AFL when he used to be on Saturday morning, I think, on TG Cahir. So I met him, and he just said, oh, that the women's competition is starting that season. So that was October. It was due to start in the end of that month, end of that year. And he said the Giants have been one of the eight teams to set up. And that was kind of the conversation. And jokingly, he said, would you ever have any interest? And I said, absolutely not. I was 34 at this stage, coming on 35. That was the end of the conversation. Left China. And I think sometime maybe April, May the following year, 6 months later, I got a message from Nick kind of asking could he have my email address, give him my email address. And then I had an email from Nick CCing in another guy called Alan McCollin, who was now the Giants women's team head coach. Their manager from the first season had been sacked, so he was picking up the coach role for season two. And Nick had worked with Al for a number of years in the men's program. Al was still working in the men's program. And then just conversation over and back, he was like, can I ring you? And that was probably May time. I said, no problem. Like, what is this man ringing me for? Rang me and asked me would I have any interest in playing for AFL, that the women's season was starting the following February, pre-season would start in October. And I said, oh, I don't know. I said, I'm highly involved here at Mayo. And obviously the club, I said, football's too important to me. So left it at that, and that August, he got his son, who lives in London, to come over and meet me and watch a game we played. I went for a kick in McHale Park, the back of McHale Park with him, sent footage back to his dad, and the next day he rang me. That was August time, would I come out for a trial? And I said I couldn't. We were in the All-Ireland semi-final with Mayo, I think around that time. We got to the All-Ireland final that year. Cairn and Cun were on a run, so I had to try and get out before October the 25th, because that's when the draft is. So eventually, after a Cairn and Cun Connacht semi-final, I flew out the next day. Arrived out there on a Tuesday. The draft was on a Wednesday. Done a trial out there on Tuesday morning. Asked me would I sign. Agreed. Went to the terms and conditions. Nick helped me. Flew to Melbourne the next day for the draft, and then obviously broke in the Irish media. Flew home that Saturday, so was out there probably for 4 or 5 days. The following week with the Connacht final with Cairn and Cun, that was a draw. Played the replay the following week. Won that. Went on to win the All-Ireland. Flew out to Australia 2 days after the All-Ireland. Missed probably the first 5 or 6 weeks pre-season, and that really how it happened. Ended up only meant to be going for 1 year and went for six. So yeah, that's probably a very shortened version, and probably between that time of May and when I eventually flew out 2 days after the All-Ireland, I probably didn't ever think I was going to go. I kind of just said yeah, I'll do it. But when I was on that flight, certainly 2 days after the All-Ireland, probably not in the best condition after 2 days out. I wasn't in a good way, questioning probably for 27 hours why I was going out. Arrived in Sydney on a Thursday morning and was training on a Thursday afternoon. And yeah, I suppose the rest is history.
The rest is history. And it was probably when you were in the All-Ireland that time and it broke in the media, that was probably, I suppose obviously for the team and yourself, it was probably a bit of a, not a distraction, but it was kind of all looping in the background, was it?
Yeah, and that's one thing, yeah, for sure. And I was captain actually that year, 2017 at Cairn and Cun, so obviously I had all the media events and stuff to do. And yeah, that's probably one thing I just didn't, you know, and it was out of my control, you know, I couldn't control it. But one thing I didn't really like, or not that I didn't enjoy, that the focus ended up turning on all about me rather than the club winning their sixth All-Ireland, which was disappointing. And I suppose then the 48 hours afterwards, you know, it was all again, we'd won, but it was all about me now leaving. So yeah, when I look back, that's probably the disappointing thing, but again, it was out of my control. But I suppose the main thing was that we won the All-Ireland, and you know, I could probably go in peace of mind knowing that we'd, you know, girls had another All-Ireland in their pocket. So yeah, it was very strange. I don't know, it was a very strange build up to an All-Ireland final. It's probably a bit added pressure on me as well, you know, to try and perform and get over the line, and thankfully we did.
Now we're going to go for our last ad break. Stay tuned into Radio Kerry. Lots more to come. We'll be back after these.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell, here on Radio Kerry, the last part of the show.
Obviously the difference between GA and AFL, there's I suppose a massive difference in physicality and tackles and all that, and we've seen, I suppose, Breed Stack and her neck that time. I had her on my show, we spoke about that, but yourself and the leg break as well in your career. How much of a, I suppose, of a setback was that? Because obviously, you're, even just talking to you here with the last half an hour, you're sports mad. Was that tough to be on, I suppose, the sideline for so long? Did it affect you mentally, or how did you cope with that?
Yeah, it certainly affected me mentally. I was probably lucky in regard. It happened in May, so the season had just finished, and I was playing some club football over there just to try and get myself involved in more games, because I obviously need to get better at the game, and the way you get better is by playing. So I'd only played 2 club games over there and obviously broke it. So for me, the biggest thing is that I had still, you know, broken in May. The AFLW season wasn't going to start until February, so, you know, I had 10 months to get right. But at the back of my mind, I knew Cairn and Cun was also playing, and I wanted to try and get home for that. And I wanted to get home for the kind of the county, obviously, kind of quarterfinal, semi-final stage, knowing that we'd at least make it to that, and then, you know, for beyond. Now, I probably knew that was very unrealistic, you know, breaking your leg in May and probably trying to be back in September for Cairn and Cun, and, you know, even to be back in pre-season, you know, kind of October, November time for the Giants and back playing in February was probably, February probably was realistic. But like that's 10 months from the injury. Now, a normal leg break, you'd probably be back, but I suppose in mine, I broke my leg in four places, both my tibia, my fibia and my ankle. And yeah, I also had a good bit of nerve damage done, so my big toe probably didn't work for over a year, which again, I probably didn't realise the importance of it. So yeah, from a mental point of view, yeah, it was hugely hard. I had surgery, you know, there was talks that I'd never, you know, come back and play again. There was talks that I'd struggle to get back walking properly again, all of that. You're the other side of the world, you don't really have as, you know, as much support as you would here. So I had surgery, and you know, we kind of went into the club a couple of days after I had surgery, and you know, talking to the medics, and yeah, I suppose they probably didn't fill me with a lot of hope as well, and you know, they were only being realistic. And yeah, I was, you know, 2 weeks later I got my stitches out and into the club again. And yeah, from there I just had an amazing physio and strength conditioning coach. They put me onto the bike for the first time and cycled 2 minutes that day, which again, you know, which was huge 2 weeks after he had surgery. So, but the physical side of it, it was tough. I used to do rehab 6 days a week, probably 4 to 5 hours a day. And I was just very driven, and I'm probably a person that's that, you know, works off trying to prove people wrong. Probably have throughout my career, it's been my career like that. So my goal after I heard a couple of people doubt me was just to prove them wrong. And yeah, I just attacked rehab very hard. There was days certainly that I struggled, a couple of setbacks. After week 8 I tried to run on the Ultra G and I had problems with my nerve, where every time I ran my leg felt like it was on fire. So I was obviously having issues inside where my leg was burning, but they all kind of settled down. And yeah, eventually I think in October the club let me home for a couple of weeks, not under the guise that I was going to play, but I came home and played in the county final for Carnacona in a Connacht semi-final. We got knocked out in the Connacht semi-final, won the county final, flew back out a couple of weeks later, and yeah, I was in full pre-season. And you know, I suppose for me the biggest thing over there, I never missed a match in my whole career when I was there. I managed to play every season and of every game, which was a huge achievement. But yeah, certainly from a mental point of view, the leg break was very, very challenging. There'd be certainly a lot of down days, but I had a very, very good strength conditioning coach that knew when I was down, you know, to how to support me. And you know, I think people forget simple things like learning how to walk or come up and down steps or learning how to hop again. I found it hugely frustrating. You're probably going from being at the peak of your powers to now, you know, learning the small things. So yeah, I suppose it gave me perspective. I loved the challenge of rehab and trying to get better and trying to break all these little goals. So it gave me a lot of perspective and to enjoy things, you know, more within sports. So yeah, I was lucky enough, you know, a lot of people that ends their career never plays again. I was lucky enough and I came back and played another 4 seasons after that.
Like, I suppose you were saying, you had the strength and conditioning coach, and I suppose if this happened 20 years ago, it would have been a lot different, you know, with the rehab and the facilities you're available to now and all that. When you decided to hang up the AFL boots, did you, when you came back, did it cross your mind at all? We've seen Stephen Cluxton there out for a while and came back. Did it cross your mind at all to come back into the Mayo setup, or was that gone fast?
No, I think that was always done. I knew I had my time done there. I would have been out of the intercounty setup at that stage since 2018. Yeah. You know, that's five years, it's a long time. You know, and it's not that I wouldn't be physically able for it, because obviously I've been training at a very high level in Australia. It's just the skill side of it. You know, and I suppose I just thought, you know, I've ticked that box, I've done it. You know, if I was going to stay on, it was going to be with AFL. You know, that was probably the decider, whether I'd stay with that. It was never to come back to Mayo. And you know, it wasn't that I was, you know, I was asked to come back and the Giants wanted me back. I actually had a couple of other clubs on to me, would I be interested in going to them? But yeah, I think you just know when your time is done. Not that my body in any way was failing, but I just thought I'd give it enough. You know, the club were probably moving in a little bit of a different direction in regards. They were bringing in youth and probably rebuilding again from when I first kind of got there. So yeah, I just felt the time was right. You know, as I said, I've been lucky enough while I have had a couple of injuries over there seen the inside of a hospital a couple of times. I was lucky, you know, I could manage to play every game, rarely missed a training session over there. So yeah, I just didn't want to be one now that was kind of picking up niggles and maybe towards the end, if you're being pushed out and not making the team. I wanted to kind of finish on a high. That was always in the back of my mind. I didn't want to be hanging on for too long. So yeah, I kind of knew towards the end of the season, and you know, took a couple of weeks after to make a right decision. But yeah, I knew that I was happy with my decision. And yeah, I don't think Mayo ever entered my mind. You know, there was talk about it, but to be honest, you know, Michael Moyles rang me when he went in as manager. I was in Australia at the time, a couple of years ago. And then even then, that was probably 2 or 3 years after I left the Mayo setup. You know, I didn't really have any interest to come back. I think I'd done 24 years, you know, 24 championship seasons with Mayo, and you know, didn't miss any of them. So I think I just said to myself, yeah, my time is done there. You know, when I left in 2018,
you'd rather go out on your own yeah, accord, rather to be forced out. And lastly, before we finish up the Sunday game now, and you're doing the bit of punditry and stuff, are you enjoying that?
Yeah, I love it. You know, I suppose like that, if you're sports mad, which I know you are and a lot of people are, it's, you know, it's, I don't find it a job. You know, I really just like it. Yeah. I'd watch every game anyways, and now you just get to analyze and talk and learn off some of the best pundits that are there. Yeah, so I am really enjoying it. It's a different insight to football. You know, I'm lucky enough at the moment, you know, not playing obviously at a high level, just club now. I'm obviously involved with Galway Camogie, so I still have that team aspect, and I'm being involved with RT. It just gives you that different side to sport, but you still feel that you're around it and involved with it, and it kind of makes retirement a lot easier. So yeah, I really enjoy it. I really enjoy deep diving into the game and looking at how, you know, football is changing, ever changing and evolving, and, you know, looking at ways that, you know, the game might change going forward, because, you know, there's obviously a lot of talk about it's not very attractive at the moment, and, you know, the whole thing around the teams and the way they're setting up. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it, and as I said, working with, you know, some of the pundits is amazing. You know, I was lucky enough, Tomás O'Shea is back. I worked with him a couple of years ago. You know, people like him, even being with him, spending all last Sunday with him, you just learn so much off him and how he reads the game. And you know, the same with Sean Kavanagh or Kieran Whelan or Lee Keegan or Peter Canavan. You know, I could name off, there's so many I could name off, but you learn so much from them, and you know, even to be in their company. You know, again, Peter Canavan, I looked up to him. He's an unbelievable footballer. I suppose to sit there and pick their brains is amazing. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it, and yeah, I'll continue to do so over the next while.
Like they say, find something you love, and you don't work a day in your life.
Exactly. Cora, that was the whole thing with professional sports. Yeah, you never felt like it was work.
That's it. Thanks so much now for this, Cora, and you've had a very decorated career, and I really enjoyed the chat, and I appreciate your time. So thanks a million,
Ian. Thanks for having me on.
Now, unfortunately, that's always time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I appreciate you tuning in to me as always. A massive thanks to Cora for coming on today and sharing her own story with me tonight here on Radio Kerry about her own decorated career that is definitely going to go down as one of the most successful and the most well-respected career from a female in Ireland. If you have any questions or requests for next week's show, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. I hope you're all having a good week so far and enjoying the fine weather. Stay tuned into Radio Kerry, because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. I'll be back at the same time next Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself. You're